You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Doing the Word by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Luke, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, asked him, or begged him that he would thrust out a little from the land. That's the first time he asked him to go out. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. He asked him, go out one time. Then he asked him again, go out a little bit further. Go launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught or a great catch of fish. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. If you have your paper Bible, underline or highlight that part there. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, simply because you're telling me to, or simply because you're asking me to, I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down the net. And when they had, this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. But this is something the Lord laid in my heart. I actually prepared this message or series probably a couple months ago. I thought I had entitled it Living by the Word, but it's entitled Doing the Word. Everybody say Do the Word. Okay, this is entitled Doing the Word. And the reason why I use this scripture passage is because in this situation, this was really Simon Peter's introduction to Jesus. And Simon, he's an expert fisherman. He doesn't fish for a hobby. He fish for a living. This is what he does. He knows fishing. They would fish early in the morning or late at night into the early morning before dawn came. Because when dawn came, they could see the nets and they would swim around the nets. But they could greatly catch them if they could catch them while it was dark. And so this is early in the morning. It's early in the morning and they are washing their nets. And Jesus first asked to borrow the ship. Let me use your ship. He didn't know Peter. This is an introduction to Peter. He sees these two men and can you just let out a little bit from the shore? And he starts teaching. So Jesus borrowed Peter's ship. So watch this. Peter used his ship to help with the word. How many of you know if you help the Lord with the word, he got to reward you? Come on now. If you help Jesus, he going to pay you. And so now he wants to repay him. He said, let's just go out a little bit further into the deep for a great draught, a great catch of fish. And Peter's like, excuse me, we were washing our nets. We've toiled all night. Toiling is labor intensive effort with little or no results. We've been working hard all night. We don't have much result. I heard you preach. You good preacher. You know the scriptures and all that. I know fishing. This is not the time. And then I think he catches himself. I'm like, let me be respectful to the rabbi. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, simply because you said it. Watch this. Not because I agree with you. Not because I feel it. Not because I'm thoroughly convinced it's going to work. I'm just going to humor you and just do it just because you said it. I do believe we'll get results if you just will humor God. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to discern everything. You don't have to. But if you would just certain things, you just do it because somebody asked. Have you ever just done something because somebody asked you to do it, even though you didn't feel like doing it? Come on, everybody who's married know what I'm talking about. Okay? You do certain things for your spouse, you don't feel like doing it just because they ask you to do it. And by the way, those of you who are too selfish and haven't learned this in marriage, you're going to have to learn this. If you want to have peace in your house, just do certain things just because they ask you to do it, not because you felt like doing it. And some of y'all need to understand, some of the stuff your spouse will ask you to do, it's just a test. They ask you to do it just to see how important they are to you. They know you're watching the game. They know it's playoffs. And they ask you, can you come do this? Not now. I mean, not when the commercial comes on. I recently shared with someone one of the best things that God ever created for men sports lovers is pause. Bless the Lord. We used to have to wait to a commercial. Now you can just pause live, go to the car, get the bags, and come back and pick up where you left off. Now whenever my boys, my sons over my house, they have a problem when I put stuff on pause. They're like, Dad, it needs to be live. I'm like, boy, a minute behind. But see, their problem is, they're watching the game and they're on Twitter. So you don't want somebody tweeting about Thomas's 3-pointer and you didn't see it first. So like, Dad, can you put it? I'm like, if nobody else is here, just put the phone down and watch the television. Okay? But certain things, you do it just because they ask. They're humoring Jesus. Lord, we're going to do it just because you ask. And just because he asked, they got results. What the point I'm getting here, and the reason why I take went because that's probably all I'm going to get to deal with this text tonight. But I want to let you know, because sometimes you hear preachers use a text, and you're like, well, he ain't never said nothing about it. Okay? So I'm telling you that I'm saying the text is that he said, I'm going to do the word. I'm going to do your word. I don't see your word. I don't agree with your word. I don't understand your word. I think I know more than you, but I'm going to humor you and just do the word. I'm amazed by how many so-called Christians simply don't live by the word and don't do the word. We make our own rules. We make excuses why we not going to do the word, even though I want to hear the word say right now. What do you mean you want to hear the word say? I know he's supposed to cut them, but the word, I want to hear the word right now. We make excuses. We justify our bad behavior based upon other people's actions. I thought somebody was quoting from me at my noon session. And so I said, wow, man, that's real good. I said that. Then I really, it wasn't me who said it. It was called quote. There's something called quote soup. Follow them on Twitter. It's really good. It's called quote soup. But this quote on quote soup said, you're not a good person because of what you believe. You're a good person because of what you do. Isn't that good? What you believe doesn't make you a good person. It's what you do who makes you a good person. A lot of Christians think you are good people. Right now, I'm talking about morally good. I'm talking about morally good. Okay. Because of what you believe. I believe in tithing. That doesn't matter if you don't tithe. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, also believes and trembles. Satan believes the word. But he don't do the word. You follow me? So we justify our bad behavior based on other people's actions. We talk about what the world is doing. Well, ain't nobody doing that. Preachers are scared to tell people today not to have sex till you get married because there ain't nobody doing that. That's what some people say. Why would you preach about that? Ain't nobody living like that now, but the word still says it. So we can't stop what we preach because contemporary society no longer lives by that. The word still says it. Are y'all hearing me here? Thou shalt not commit adultery, sleep with somebody else's husband, sleep with somebody else's wife, even if you're separated. The word says that. Y'all don't like me now. Okay? So, but we said, well, ain't nobody doing that today. So we say I don't need to live by the word because I may be the only one living by the word. Well, you ought to make up your mind. If nobody else do the word, I'm going to do the word. Now, for example, tithing is a principle of life for me. It's not a command at this point in my life. Now, one time I tithe out of command. tithe now because of experience and out of the principle of tithing. I think really when I think about it, when I think about how much God's blessed me, 10%, really? Really? I'm going to have a problem giving God a dime every time he give me a dollar? Really? I can't even fix my brain to conceive of thinking like that. That's at this point. It's no longer, it's not about command, but watch this. And because I do it personally, I also know if it worked for me personally, I have a conviction that I'm going to do it corporately. Glory to God. And I was thinking about it last week. I was thinking about it last week, this corporate tithe. I thought about it last week. I said, Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just get your pen ready and get your signature ready, because next week we're going to raise about $30,000. We're going to raise $300,000. And glory to God, you're going to sign a tithe check for about $300,000. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At the end of the day, it's just a multiple of dimes. Now watch this. I know most pastors don't do that. Most churches don't do that. And I could say, well, we don't have to tithe. Most churches don't do that. But I know for me to do it, I'm doing the word. So I don't change what I do based upon what somebody else is not doing. When you make up your mind that you want to do the word, look at your neighbor and say, do the word. So what we saw, what we heard, what we've experienced, we try to use that as justifications for why we simply don't do the word. To do the word means to apply the word to your life and just do it. Look at your neighbor, say Nike, Nike, Nike. What was Nike's slogan? Just do it. Didn't say just feel it. Just do it. The word of God has built-in promises that. Now, I've said this so many times over the years. The word of God has built-in promises with inevitable results. Built-in promises with inevitable results. Okay? If you stick your hand in the fire, you don't have to ask it to burn you. If you put your hand in fire, you don't have to believe that it's going to be hot. Are you following me? Hot is in the fire. Can you understand that? Okay? When you drink water or put your hand in water or jump in water, you don't have to believe you're going to get wet. Are you following me? Wet comes with the water. It's inevitable. It's built into it. There's a blessing that's built into obeying and doing the word. And certain things are going to happen even if you don't believe it. It's going to work just by you doing it. Now, I should have said this before. I want you to understand, for the purpose of this series or for the purpose of this lesson tonight, this is not about me judging whether you're going to heaven or hell. Because you don't go to heaven or hell based upon what you do. You go to heaven or hell based upon what you believe. He that believeth is saved. Whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord with the heart, man, believe with the mouth, confess, man. So we are saved based upon what we believe, not what we do. Come on, everybody, take a deep breath. Whew. Thank God, because I didn't do good today. Now, you need to understand. Now, even though I've established that's not how I grew up. I grew up when every day, from day to day, moment to moment, we didn't know if he was in or if he was out. If you lied, you're out. Told the truth, in. You're like, whew, I'm glad I didn't lie that time. Okay? And every day we were basically taught, before you go, you need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for sins of omission, what you omitted to do, and sins of commission, what you committed doing. And so at any given day, you don't know if you was in or if you was out. I cannot tell y'all, there is no security and peace in living like that. Lord Jesus, some of y'all don't realize that's a really an Old Testament kind of way of thinking. Remember Job, one of his worries was he was worried that his children might have done something wrong. So he spent all his time praying. They probably was over there anyway. But because the Bible said his children would get together and have parties. You know they were having parties. They were over there snorting cocaine. Anyway, and Job would just be praying, Lord. He said, if perhaps my children have done something wrong. And you can live your life, just be worried. But listen, you go to heaven based upon receiving Jesus as your Savior. You go to hell based upon rejecting Jesus as your Savior. So this ain't a message about heaven or hell right now. No judgment about heaven or hell. All right. For the sake of this message, let's imagine that heaven doesn't exist nor hell exists. Can I tell you this? Just doing the word is going to help you right here, right now on earth. By you doing the word, it's going to help you have a good marriage. It's going to help you have good relationships on your job. It's going to help you get raises. It's going to help your money be good. It's going to help your health. I'm talking about living a life right here on earth, the best kind of life that God wants you to live, having nothing to do with heaven, nothing to do with hell. It's about doing the word so I can have God's best results in my life right now. So it has, the word produces positive consequences. The word will produce positive results. Not doing the word produces negative consequences and have negative results. So the word of God is an instruction manual for our life. Y'all ever hear people say, life don't come with an instruction manual? Y'all heard people say that? Babies don't come with an instruction manual. And y'all ever hear people say that? Children don't come. Marriage doesn't come with instruction. Marriage. That's not true. The word of God for the Christian is our instruction manual. Amen. So for the Christian, we have an instruction manual. But just like most people don't read the instruction manual. The instruction manual will tell you how to work what? The instruction will tell you how to maximize and have maximum performance from this product, from this vehicle, from this machine. Amen. The instruction manual will give you scheduled maintenance. Amen. Y'all heard about my first car that I bought, my 1982 Buick Regal. Some of y'all also have been around long enough to hear that I drove that car for 80,000 miles and never changed the oil. Okay, now I'm going to blame that on not having a father. Now you ain't laughing at me, right? If I had a father, my father would have taught me about oil and making oil change. I didn't have no father. I didn't change my oil. Okay, does that work? So you stop laughing at me? Okay, we got to work what I got. Okay, And so the car got to the point, it was just running rough all the time. It wouldn't stay on. And finally I said to Bishop Bell, I said, Uncle Scott, I said, Ma, I don't know what's up with my car. It just won't stay on. It's just shaking all the time. He said, boy, when's the last time the oil changed? I said, the oil changed. I'm like 20, 21. He said, when last time the oil changed? I said, oil changed. He said, when did you change the oil? I said, when that light come on, I put some more in there. And I used to go around carrying cases of oil in my car because that light was always coming on. See, you know, it's not good to laugh at people. Your parents didn't teach you don't laugh at people. Didn't know. But guess what, y'all? If I read the manual would have told me, especially at that time, you know, you don't even know mechanics. I don't mean to hurt the mechanics business here. Mechanics today, they still want you to get it changed every 3,000 miles. Most cars today, you don't have to get it changed that often. But the mechanic telling you, they put that stick up there, the 3,000 miles. My BMW need to be changed every 15,000 miles. I don't even drive it 7,000 miles a year, so I just go in at least once a year and have it changed, because if I took 15, it'll be 2.5 years. I don't drive it that much, okay? But the manual tells you how to have optimum performance. It tells you how to make this machine, this product, this device have the longest life possible. Am I right? How to get the longest use of this and have the longest life out of it. God's word does the same thing. The God's word tells us, if we do the word, this is how you have a good life. This is how you have a prosperous life. This is how you have a long life. This is how you have a good marriage. This is how you have healthy finances. This is how you have a healthy body. By doing the word. So the word of God is our instruction manual. Look at James 1:25. All right. Well, man, all my time to go. James 1:25. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, Perfect law of liberty, just a big phrase that James used for what? For the word. For the word of God. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, whoever looks into the word of God, whoever reads the Bible and continues therein. Everybody say continue. Remember Jesus said, I believe it's in John 8:32. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. True truth will make you free. So you're not going to know the truth unless you continue in the word. Amen. And so he said, if you continue therein, being not a what kind of hearer? A forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work. So the word is not just words. The word is work. I got to take the word and work it. I got to work the word, which means I do the word. If I be a doer of the work, if I work the word, this man shall be blessed in his what? In his believing. In his hearing. I'm blessed in my deed, in what I do. What's going to cause me to have the blessing that comes from the word is doing it. Not merely believing it, not merely quoting it, but in doing it. Amen. If I do the word, I'm going to be blessed. Now, you can make me mad, but I got to do the word. No, I wore this shirt tonight. I wore this shirt to remind me that if you don't do the word, you can go to jail. I wore this shirt tonight to remind myself, if you don't respond with the word, you can wear stripes. Y'all ain't never seen me wear a shirt like this before, have you? Somebody said, where Pastor get that shirt from? It reminds me to do the word. Because if you don't do the word, you're going to get stripes. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture for that. He that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, shall be beaten with what? Many stripes. Okay? So you got to make up your mind. Listen, y'all. You're going to do the word, and I don't care what other people do, what other people say. In the words of Prophet Michelle Obama, when they go low, you go high. Now, how many of y'all know that ain't easy? But you got to make up your mind, I'm going to do it. See, doing the word, watch this, is not a feeling, it's a decision. It really is. It's a decision. Why is it that Muslims and Orthodox Jews and other people who have these, who are in these legalistic religions, how is it that they can do what they believe their word says and they don't have the Holy Spirit and we can't? And the Holy Spirit is supposed to be our helper. He's supposed to work in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, according to Colossians. And yet Muslims will get down and pray. How many? What, three times a day? Towards the east? Five. All right. Lord, I'm teaching. Some can't get y'all to pray one. And they'll do it five times a day. And they're disciplined at it. There are Muslims and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't know nothing about speaking in tongues. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And yet they do what their word says because they make up their mind they're going to do it. What's your excuse, Christian? Who has the Holy Spirit living on the inside? Why can't you do the word? But I feel, but I got to do the word. See, God already knew what you're going to feel. That's why I said, do the word. Oh, man, make me so mad. I feel like cussing them out. But God said, do the word. Bless them that curse you. I got, oh, man. I'm using it as an analogy, okay? I got to make a point because I'm saying some of y'all think, Pastor, I'm losing my mind now. Okay, I'm just using it as an analogy as a man saying this. Y'all understand? Okay, you got me? So a man sees a woman and says, oh, man, that woman is fine. I am so sexually attracted to her. I keep having these fantasies in my mind. Oh, my God, I got to get this woman. Got to get with this woman. But I'm saved. And I'm married. Ah, man, I can't do that. I gotta do the word.
The Bible is the believer's instruction manual. It's not just for good stories, but it tells us how to conduct our lives to be successful. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains that if we're going to have the God kind of life, we have to do the Word. Order this series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Doing the Word.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.